Want to thank everyone for coming out this morning. And I'm hoping that my voice lasts long enough for me to get through all the points that I have. I wasn't feeling great yesterday, and I don't feel bad today, but I sound pretty bad, and at times my voice comes and goes. So I appreciate you ahead of time for enduring the sound of my voice. It's probably going to be a little raspy, a little ugly at times, and if I have to cough, I'll try to get this mic out of the way so I don't blow y'all's ears off. But thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up this morning. I encourage you again, as Brother Howard prayed, and I appreciate the prayer. Please follow along. Please open your Bibles to the verses we're going to look at. Read along with me to make sure that the things we're going to look at this morning are in line with God's Word, and that the things we're talking about this morning are going to be a benefit to us, not a distraction or a harm to our being Christians. And it kind of gets you into what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm going to give you a little story about something that's a little fickle, but it can be taken on a serious level and can be a big problem for some people. 2 years ago, 3 days before Christmas, Jason and I came in from somewhere, I forgot where it was, and realized that the house was really cold. It was really cold. So I turned the heat up. Well, it didn't work. So what do you do when the heat doesn't work? Well, you call your friendly guy that knows about heat units, and he comes over and he opens the panel up and he looks inside and he says, "Baumgartner, we can't fix this." The heating element had burst. All right, it's not really called the heating element, but it's something that, you know what I'm talking about. It had burst 3 days before Christmas. Without any warning, we're having to put in a new unit, right? Nobody's ready for that 3 days before Christmas. Nobody is. Christmas is that time of year when you kind of put aside the extra money to buy things for other people, and you spend a lot, and, well, wasn't a whole lot we could do. We had to have a new unit. And it was tough, right? And just sometimes things happen, right? And that's one of those kind of life things that just happens. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. And sometimes when it happens, you hope there's an easy fix. And in our case, the easy fix was putting in a new unit. But that wasn't the easiest fix on the pocketbook. It had been very easy for us to get down about having to spend that much money on a unit to put on a house at that time of year. We had to just move on. We had to just keep going. But on a serious note, and the title of this lesson, and this is one that Timothy Houston had shared with Howard that he shared with us, the title of it, and Christy looked at me and she was like, "What?" If y'all want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read from there in just a minute. And the English Standard Version words it a little bit different. But the title of his lesson was, "Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold." Shall wax cold. Because things are going to happen in life that are tough. Some are going to turn away. Now, y'all heard me talk about Granddaddy. He would talk, and he talked to y'all. He told you about it. You're going to go over the hills. And he would say, "You're going to go down in the deep, dark valleys." And he'd always talk about that. He'd warn you. You're going to have hills in life where things are all nice, and you're on top of that hill, and things are pretty, and you can see the light, and everything is wonderful. But then there's going to be times when you go down in that, he'd say, the deep, dark valleys. And when you're in that deep, dark valley, it's when you need to be careful, and you need to be cautious. Because that's when the devil's working on you, and he's trying to get you. But you will. Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to start in verse 3 and read down to verse 12 first. "And he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?' And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead you astray, and lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." In verse 12, And there's the English Standard, words it a little bit different. It says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow old. Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. I said old. See, there, my cold getting to me. Will grow cold. And I want you to take that as a warning this morning. That my, I guess, focus this morning is to give us all a warning. This morning, I need a warning. With some things that are just going on in our lives, I need a warning. I need to be told that when we get in that deep, dark valley, how are we going to get through it and come out and get on a hill again? We all need to be told that. So take it as a warning. And as a warning, let's look on, though, because I want you to implant this in your head and keep this in the forefront of your mind as we go through everything this morning. Look at verse 13. It says the words, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's what we're going to keep in our mind, okay? Because we have setbacks in our lives. We have things that take the joy out of living. And we all like to have a good time. Everybody likes to have a good time, I think. But sometimes things happen in life that rob you of that joy of living. And some people just say, how can I keep going? How can I keep moving forward? What can I do? And this morning is going to be some warnings for us just to be careful, to look at some examples, some things the Bible says about how can we be torn away. But I want you to keep in your mind verse 13. There again. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. There is hope. The work will pay off. It's tough at times. It's hard. If you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. And I do have several verses this morning to look at, so please do follow along. Verses 13 through 15. We'll be deceived by false doctrine, it says. And the Paul's a warning of false prophets here in this chapter. In verse 13, it says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond their deeds. We're told here, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen. Deceitful. Somebody who's crafty, right? Pulling you away. Disguising themselves, making themselves appear as apostles of Christ. They're going to look to be good, but they're going to pull you away with their deceitfulness. And he goes on to tell us there, right? It says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. You know, when you take that part and you absorb that, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That means we have to really be careful. We have to watch out for what people are telling us, the example they're setting before us, the things that we are bombarded with every day. What is Satan? If he's disguising himself as an angel of light, he is working really hard to get to us. And if he's working really hard to get to us, he can cause us to fall. And we have to be careful that when things are tough and times are hard, that we are looking at God's word to know what is right and what's wrong, so that we don't get tripped up by the wolves in sheep's clothing that you look over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. In verse 15 it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. I don't know if any of y'all have ever watched or studied wolves and how they attack and how they go about their business of killing their prey. But when you think about a wolf being ravenous, they're vicious. They're a beautiful creature to look at. They are magnificent in their strength and their power. They are magnificent to watch. You watch them running through, you know, I've seen, you know, the whatever channels it is, it shows them running through the snow in packs, and you're like, whoa, that's just a huge, stout creature. But then the next scene, what are they showing? Them taking down an elk or something. They're powerful, right? They look beautiful. They look magnificent. You know, somebody like me, you might even want to pet one because they're so pretty, right? They look attractive, but they're ravenous. You know, you think about these people here. When the warning is, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, they look harmless. They look harmless, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Some of us will get caught up in this if we're not careful. And I'm talking about myself included, okay? We'll get caught up in this if we're not careful. And then before you know it, we're becoming the prey. Well, we're Satan's prey. He's after us. He's after us to take us down in any way that he can. Some of us will be deceived with good words and fair speeches. Romans 16, verses 17 through 18. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Right? He's appealing to them. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. I couldn't help but think as I went through this, some of the studies that we've done here recently, and I went back through some of the books that we've been through. Our purpose is to mature as Christians, not to stay in one state. We have to mature. If we don't mature, we get caught up in this. And I was talking to my dad about this morning, as we have a situation that's come up that's been very difficult to deal with. And my thought was, that person never matured, or this would not have happened. Right? They wouldn't got caught up with this obstacles, these things that come up. We have to be careful and watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. And there's going to be some problems with this situation. It's not here, it's not local, it's further away. But the church is going to suffer. And it's going to cause a big fallout. And people sometimes don't understand that our individual actions, we're not careful with the world attacking us, our decisions don't just affect us. They don't affect just the people that are close to us. It affects many people. And I can remember very plainly my grandfather talking to my mother before she left completely. And her words were, this will never hurt those kids. They will be okay. Ooh. How wrong could she have been? How wrong could she have been? It affects everybody. Sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand that things happen, right? I was a young kid, didn't realize what was going on. But I know that I was affected by it. I was affected. But some will fall because they do not grow up. They're not able to see where are the problems. And obviously she didn't see where the problems were. She got caught up in this and was torn away, and is still lost, which is scary. Many will bring heresies and feigned words of merchandise to the soul. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, if you want to look at that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, but the false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing up themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensualities, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. We have a warning here. There's false prophets that may even arise, he said, among you. We have to be careful that we're not. I don't want to be part of that person that can be considered among you that's a false prophet. That's why I ask you guys to pay attention and follow along and challenge what I'm saying to be accurate. That's why I want that. And if you tell me it will not, you'll humble me. And it may hurt my feelings a little bit, but I'll be okay with it. Okay? But that's part of the process of helping each other as Christians. But if we're not careful because of hard times, we'll get caught up in this stuff. The feigned words, the false teachers, We get caught up in it. We have a problem when we go to a brother and sister in Christ and we talk to them about it, and maybe they're not giving us Bible guidance. They're giving us worldly guidance. That's something we have to be careful with, because the world can tell us one thing, but the Bible tells us how to fix the problem. And we get caught up in hearing what we want to hear from a brother or sister that may be a little off kilter from the Bible. They think they might be giving us good advice, but we always need to return to what is accurate and what is true. And we as Christians should be making sure that our information that we're helping other people with is from Bible. That means we need to study. We need to pay attention. We need to just think about it. We need to meditate on the things so that we're not causing someone else to stumble. Because we have a lot of warnings here. False teachers, false prophets, people coming in who are disguised, who are trying to do, they say they're trying to do good. They're looking to do good, but they're trying to pull you away. We have to be careful. And then there's this term, because of hard times. And I have always kind of been like, I don't, there's some terms I just really don't like. It's just me as a person. And I really didn't like this term. And then, studying this, I was like, I got to change my mind. I got to change my mind because of the way it's written. And I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That term, fall away, we use it, that person has fallen away. I was like, no, they've sinned. Well, right here it tells us they have fallen away. Fallen away. You're separated, right? Some, because of hard times, will fall away. And the warning there is, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. There might be some among you. We have to be careful as Christians that we're not part of that you. We're the people among you. We have to stay in the Word. We have to support one another and help each other to do good. We have to be careful of the deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 13, it goes on to say, but exhort one another every day as long as today is called the day, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another day after day. Exhort. Help one another. Be watchful of one another. Be careful with one another. Right? Why? Why are we going to be careful? So that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's not the easiest thing to walk up to somebody and tell them that they're wrong. Now, it's a little easier for me because I do it every day. That's my job, right? I teach for a living. I see kids messing up. It's my job to tell them, hey, you're not doing right. Right? But when it comes to adults, that's a little different story. And even I have a difficult time with that. Going up and telling somebody that I care for, that I endure, that I love, and that I look up to, that they're doing wrong. But the Bible says they're doing wrong so that we don't fall, so that we don't get caught up in iniquity, and that we don't wax cold or lose our love for God. We need to help one another. Because it happens so fast, and it's so easy. The devil's crafty. As we read earlier, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He is a crafty, crafty identity, I'll say. Okay. Ephesians 4, verses 21 through 24 talks about the deceitful lust there. Another daily is to help sometimes when things are tough. We need to help one another daily as sometimes things are tough. And some will depart and go back to the old self. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 talks about that some. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. It says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. The old self, right? It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of righteousness, to true righteousness and holiness. We are creatures of habit. And it is sometimes really easy for us to go back to our old habits, especially when we're being exposed to it by people that are crafty, that are deceitful, that are trying to pull you away. We are creatures of habit. We have to be careful. We have to continue to keep God's commandments. Okay? Look at Psalms 18. Psalms 18, in verses, we're going to look at verses 21, I think, through 24. It says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all of his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him. I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands and my sight." It says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." How are we going to keep the ways of the Lord? Continue to study. Continue to exhort. Continue to lean on one another. That's something that we probably need to do more of. In our society, we kind of keep our things to ourselves. We don't want to let our skeletons out of the closet, let people know where we fail and where we suffer and where we're vulnerable. We're a proud people, are we not? One thing we need to do more of is let each other know, hey, this is trying to me. This is a hard time for me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to check on me. You think about a brother in Christ, knowing where you suffer, and every once in a while they may send you a little text, or they give you a call, or they come by to visit and they say, "How are you dealing with this?" Now you're held accountable, right? When we hold that accountability now, are we going to follow into this waxing cold? Well, I hope not. If our heart's in the right place and we can view all the good that's out there coming to us from the Bible, and not falling true to these wolves in sheep clothing, these deceitful words, going back to our old ways. If we can keep those things in the forefront of mind and help one another, that's our job as Christians, to exhort one another, to help one another, to get to heaven. I want to be in heaven, and I want you all to be there with me. And we have to help one another get there. But some we know, from 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, some will not stay true. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And it reads, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by the devoting themselves to the," again here we have this word, "deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." This should be a warning to all of us that we should not be part of the some in this verse here. Some, right, will depart from the faith and devote themselves to the deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. We have to be careful, folks. And then again, back in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6, it talks again about the falling away. And again, I mentioned earlier, some will fall away because of a lack of maturity in the Word. We must study it. We must meditate on it. I'm telling you, that is a life-changing thing. And again, I have to bring up my granddad. I know I talk about him a lot, but he was a huge influence on me. Why was he such a huge influence on me? Because every time, and I'm not joking, every time I go to visit, what was he doing? He'd tell you, "Be in the Word, son." He would tell you, "Show up, son, stay in the Word." Because he saw a lot, and he suffered a lot, and he knew The way to heaven was to stay in the Word. How do you not wax cold? You stay in the Word, son. I remember those words just as clear. You know, when we would talk about it going home, when we'd pick him up for Bible and take him home, he would talk about that. Son, make sure you stay in the Word. That was his warning. Make sure you're doing what's right. And those things echo with me daily. What about things that are hard to understand? We can look at 2 Peter 3, 16 through 18. Because some things are hard to understand. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. There are some things that are difficult to understand, folks. Calculus is difficult for me to understand. I can handle algebra. I can handle geometry. I can even tolerate chemistry. But for some reason, calculus, it didn't work with me too much. I didn't want to understand it was a problem. Right? When I was going to school, and I was going to school initially to be an engineer, that was the funny thing. And I changed pretty quickly in the process and realized that was not the path for me. Partly because calculus wasn't working out for me, right? It was hard to understand. If I wanted to understand calculus, could I? Absolutely. I could have. I did not have a strong desire to want to learn calculus. Now, I have to say, when I made up my mind to teach music, even though music is very difficult, and it is, it's like a whole different language with its own nuances and stuff, it was not hard for me because I wanted to learn it. I wanted to take it in. I loved it. I made time for it. Ooh, there's a key. I made time, right? But some things are hard to understand. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, says that he does in all his letters, I think he's talking about Paul's letters here, when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destructions as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawlessness people and lose your own stability. But grow. There is a key word, grow, in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We have to grow. Okay? Some things are going to be hard for us to understand. Okay? This Hebrew book has been really good that we're studying on Wednesday night. That's a challenge. If you just read Hebrews, and it's challenging. There's some stuff in there that you have to really sit down and think about. And you have to go back and do some study and cross-referencing and, you know, how does this work together? But if you want to learn it, you're going to. If you don't want to learn it, you can latch on to anything out there that's false and run with it because it's easy. It's easy. It's easy to do the things that the world does that, you know, the kids at school, you don't have to follow the rules. They set that example all the time. You don't have to listen to the teacher. Well, yeah. Yeah, you do. They learn pretty quick. It's hard for them when they don't. But it's easy to set an example. Oh, you don't have to. I'll be a tough guy. You know. And then before you know it, you got somebody else trying to be a tough guy because that guy was a tough guy. And now everybody wants to be a tough guy, and you got a whole classroom full of tough guys. And you have that one kid somewhere, and you always have one kid who obviously has been taught well at home. And they're influenced by all these tough guys, but I love it. There's nothing more precious than being in that classroom seeing that one kid that makes a decision, I am not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to follow the rules. It's not easy. And you know it's not easy for that kid. Because we live in a world that's full of tough guys. And they're making up all kinds of rules. And I'm not talking about just the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm talking about people that claim to be Christians, that claim to be teaching the gospel. And they're teaching wrong. It's hard to stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right. But we have to. We have to. Because sometimes things are hard to understand. Sometimes they are. But we have to study in them. And that key word there in verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge Grow in grace and knowledge. The only way to grow in grace and knowledge is to spend time with it. Right? I did not want to spend time with calculus. I chose not to. So what did not happen? I did not become an engineer. Could I have? Yes. I could have made a choice to do it. But I made the choice not to. Well, we have a choice. We can understand, grow in the grace and the knowledge, and be a Christian and work towards getting to heaven, or we cannot. I like it when it's that easy. It's a harsh reality, and sometimes it's hard to accept, but I like it when it's that, for me, when it's that easy, well, I know what I need to do, and I don't always do it well. Sometimes I fall down. But when I know here is the expectation, this is what I have to meet, that makes it easy for me. We either grow or we fall away. We get trapped by the world. We get trapped by these wolves that pull us away, that teach us all sorts of things that are not true. Folks, we must not grow weary in doing what's well. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Simple here. It says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Does it give us a time frame? It just says in due season. In due season, if we do not give up, we must not grow weary in doing what's well. Some will grow weary. Okay? Some will grow weary. Some will get tired. Some will say, life is too hard for me. I can't do this anymore. The devil's got you. Right? He's got you. He's disguised himself. I can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. Life is too hard. Young people, y'all listen to me, because I know it. I know what y'all think at times. You come home from school and you think, life is hard. You know what? Life is hard. Life is hard. Okay? Yeah. Because if it wasn't hard, it'd be easy. And if it was easy, then it would be like people say, like, this is heaven on earth. Well, this is not. This is not heaven on earth. Life is hard. We have to not grow weary. That's the word here. Do not grow weary in doing what is good. And doing what good is not always easy. But the payoff is home in heaven. Again, other verses here, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. We should never get tired of doing what is good. Why? Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Oh, that's a verse that should get your attention, right? Let's not come short. It says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. I'm going back to engineering again. I failed to reach that goal because I wasn't committed to it. I thought I was. And I can remember from about eighth grade on talking to Rod Waterman. Some of y'all may know him. He was an engineer. I even went out to his place of engineering or whatever the manufacturing they did. They made plastic particles that were really kind of cool. And he showed me how they worked. And they actually let me take some plastic home that was kind of in a molten form or liquid or some weird substance. I'm not sure what it was. But he let me take it home, and I was really intrigued by it. Eighth grade, I'm going to be an engineer. Ninth grade, I'm going to be an engineer. I get to college, I'm not going to be an engineer. This is not for me, right? So I chose a path that I wanted to do. We have to want to be a Christian, folks. We have to want to do what's right. We have to want to study. We have to make time to study so that we are growing, so that we are edifying one another, so whether we're bringing each other up, we're watching out for one another. So when times do get difficult and times get hard, and if you've been on this long enough, you're on this earth long enough, you're going to hit hard times. And sometimes they hit really hard and they hit really fast. And if you're not grounded, as Grandy would say, rooted and grounded, and that's what the Bible says too. That's why he said it, right? If you're not rooted and grounded, you will get knocked off your feet and you will fall. As that term says, fall away. That scares me. That scares me every time I read through that. Do I fall away? I hope I'm not. Does it scare me? Absolutely. Do I evaluate regularly? Probably not enough. I try to, but I try to and answer myself honestly. But every day, do I think about today, was I a good Christian today? Did everything that come out of my mouth help someone else? Or did I follow the world? Did I follow the evil teachings of the world? Did I fall into that trap and get caught up in something that makes me not a good Christian? Okay? I think this verse is talking about those who are waxing cold and totally going away. But it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. You don't go from being a strong Christian to just not if you're studying and you're growing. Have to be careful. If something has taken you away, something in your life has been a struggle for you, please let Christians here know so they can pray for you. There will be no better feeling than to have, than to know to go away from this place this morning, knowing that there are Christians in this building that are praying for you as an individual. We need those prayers. We need to help one another. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're in a state that's lost. You need to decide, do I know enough about the Bible to do what's right? And if you do, you need to decide that and make that commitment that you're going to be a Christian. It's not as fickle as making the decision of whether I'm going to be an engineer or not, or a band director, or a special ed teacher. Those are just worldly decisions that really don't amount to a hill of beans. When the day's done and my time has passed, it won't matter what I did for a living, as long as it was godly. It won't matter if I was an engineer or a band director or a special ed teacher or a mechanic or a doctor or whatever else you want to list off there. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I lived for Christ and I did not let things that can pull me down draw me away so that I fall in that category of falling away. And I hope that if you guys see me falling away, that you will pick me up. Because I am human, and it can happen. We need to be careful. If you need prayers, if you need to commit your life to Christ, to be part of that family, and then you're going to make that commitment to be a Christian, you can do so as we stand, as we sing.